Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 12th and final round.
Right hand, Golovkin steps in and down he goes again. Unbelievable!
Mayweather makes a pay. What a rookie mistake.
A sensational left hook by De La Hoya.
It's fact, I'm the best, you know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to believe in myself, but it's the truth. I'm the best.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
From Southern California, this is the Last Round Podcast.
Welcome back to this week's episode of the Last Round Podcast. Thank you again for joining us as you do each and every week. Or if this is your first time listening to the Last Round Podcast, welcome. And we hope you continue to support us and listen to us on a weekly basis. Jumping right back into it, fight reviews. Last Thursday, a rare Thursday card from Fantasy Springs in Indio, California, April 21st. On DAZN, a Golden Boy Promotions card. Mercito Gesta gets the 10-round unanimous decision win over Joel Diaz Jr. Mike, I'll let you lead the way on this one since you were there for the last round covering in person. You got to talk to a couple of different people ringside, especially who were on the cards and the undercards. You also talked to Joette Gonzalez, his brother Jouse, who got the win as well, which we'll talk about in a second. But you know, going off of the main event here, Hesta getting the win over Diaz Jr., what was your take on it being right there ringside?
I thought it was a good fight, you know, back and forth. The crowd seemed to really enjoy it. And then, you know, the guys that watched it on DAZN over in the US, when I was looking on our Twitter, you know, they really enjoyed it as well. I thought the whole card was actually matched pretty well. Even, you know, some of the guys at the lower end of the card, the guys who were coming up, the prospects, some of those fights were, you know, pretty well matched. You know, the home fighters got the wins, but, you know, guys were in there and gave them some rounds. A good win for Mercito Gesta, who had he'd been gone for so long, you kind of forgot about him. You know, I think his last fight was actually Linares in, like, was it like 3 or 4 years ago?
I don't think that was his last fight, was it? No way.
I think so. He was gone for a long time. He had a few injuries and then COVID and stuff.
Was that really his last fight? The Linares? No, it wasn't. That was at the Forum. Was that really his last fight?
Yeah, because after the fight, Beto Duran.
Wait a minute. All right, you talk right now. I'm going to look this up while you're talking.
Yeah, Beto Duran was talking to him afterwards, and I think he said it was either his last fight or his last victory was like 2018 or something like that. It's like a really long time. But a good fight. I thought Joel Diaz Jr. looked pretty good. Mercito Gesta looked well. Both of them gave it, you know, they're all going back and forth, and then I think we've spoke before. I could see like Mercito Gesta maybe getting like a Ryan Garcia fight later down the line, just because he's a smaller lightweight. So, you know, ideal for someone like Ryan to be in with. And obviously Mercito's got a decent-ish resume being in there with, you know, someone like Linares, you know, a few years back.
His last fight was against Carlos Morales in November of 2019. So it's been a couple of years, actually. Linares was in January of 2018. So that's what I knew when you said Linares. I was like, no, Linares was a long time ago. I know he's been out of the ring for a long time, but even then, though, even with, I know, I mean, obviously we had the pandemic and you said he has some injuries, but honestly, I didn't think he was out of the ring this long, going on just under 3 years, 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022. That's wild. Oh my gosh. Like, that's wild for somebody like Gesta, who, you know, fought couple times a year. That's very, very surprising. Oh man, what kind of injury did he have?
I think it was a hand injury or something like that they spoke on. He had, you know, obviously then he had COVID off and stuff like that, but that's a long, long time to be off, you know. And Mercito Gesta, I would guess he's not earning like life-changing money, I wouldn't imagine, so that he could take, you know, those huge breaks. So I'm sure he was probably wanting to get back in, and he kind of knocked the ring rust off early on. I thought he got caught a couple of times early by Diaz, and then he kind of like warmed up and warmed into it.
But he looked good though, being there in person, because I saw you know, obviously the broadcast of it. But I mean, as we know, being at so many fights as we have been, watching a fight in person, you can kind of see a little bit better in terms of evaluating the performance than you can on TV. It's like a different dynamic. What do you think about the in-person performance?
I thought he got hit a little bit too much. when he was facing somebody of the caliber of, you know, Joe Diaz Jr. But
and Joel Diaz Jr.
is still a good performance.
Joel Diaz Jr. is the trainer Joel Diaz's son, right?
No.
I mean, it's not, right?
Is no, it? There is a Joel Diaz Jr. who did
there is, right? While. I knew. I was like, there is a Joel Diaz Jr.
Yeah, there is. And he was there because he works for Golden Boy.
Right.
But yeah, no, that's it. This is an LA-based one.
Man. Well, Hesta, I mean, I think you're right. I think that's a good type of prediction, maybe to say that Hesta gets Ryan sometime maybe later this year. I mean, Ryan, I would put him in there with Jojo Diaz, which I still think is possibly the higher chance to see that fight between Ryan Garcia and Jojo, obviously being in-house with Golden Boy. But I don't think it's that far-fetched to say, like you said, that Hesta might get thrown in there with Ryan sometime later this year. I mean, who do you think is more likely?
I could see it. You know, it's an easy fight to make, you know, being, you know, Golden Boy and Golden Boy. Masito Hesta's like smaller as well. So, you know, I'm sure that Golden Boy is still trying to keep Ryan on that trajectory because I'm sure he's, you know, earning them great money, you know, just with all the digital, you know, social media side of it, the amount of numbers. I think that fight, his last fight was at like 6-7 million views on DAZN's YouTube page.
Do you think, I don't know why you didn't talk about this before, but do you think, you mentioned how Ryan, at least from the digital footprint that he has, you know, he brings in a lot of views, a lot of, you know, listens and all that stuff on online. For example, when they post his highlights or his clips on the DAZN YouTube channel, especially right after his fight, it gets into the millions. It obviously does really, really well. Do you think Golden Boy, or a promoter for any of that matter, do you think they get a cut of those digital sales from like the broadcast partner?
I would imagine they would, because essentially they, you know, probably have the rights to Ryan, right?
And well, that's what I was thinking, right?
Yeah, and I'm sure some of those bigger name fighters, maybe even Ryan and Canelo and stuff like that, they'll probably say like, hey, like, I want a cut of it, you know, because that's me. That's my name.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting, huh? I don't know. I don't think we've ever touched on that, which makes it all interesting. But like I said, like Hesta, and I've liked Hesta for a long time. I still like the kid. He's a good fighter. He seems very humble. I think I've interviewed him a couple of times, especially since he started with Golden Boy, you know, years ago. But if it's not Hesta in there with Ryan later this year, what do you think? Who else should Hesta be in there with next? Especially, you know, still coming off of a long layoff since 2019.
I can imagine he'll be in there with somebody similar sort of standard. I'm trying to think of somebody that's in the Golden Boy stable that they could throw him in there with.
Tanahara?
Hector Tanahara is a good prospect. He's kind of gone a little bit stale, hasn't he? I thought he'd have taken off a little bit more, you know, being in with the Robert Garcia, but I think that would be a good name, actually, a good matchup for both of them. You know, it'd be a nice matchup for Hector Tanahara to face somebody like Hester, who's a name, especially in, you know, the Southern California.
Yeah, I could see it. But I mean, how old is Hesta now? Maybe like in his mid-30s, 33, 34, maybe 33? Or am I thinking, is he younger than that?
No, I would have said so. I think Hester's around there.
34. It's 34. I found it. He's 34. So yeah, I was right around the general age bracket. I mean, you know, who... Yeah, I think you're right. I think maybe Ryan. I would love to see a JoJo fight. I would love to see a JoJo fight with Ryan. I mean, if Golden Boy's going to still keep an in-house fight for Ryan, throw him in there with JoJo. But, I mean, if Hesta can pull out a performance that he had, maybe against Linares when he fought Linares in 2018, give me the fight. I'm all about it. So there's still a chance that could be competitive. But like you said, Hesta is on the smaller, lightweight side. And
William Zepeda?
There's no way they would put in Ryan. You mean Ryan William Zepeda? No way.
Hesta.
You know what? Maybe. I could see that. Zepeda's waiting for his coming out party, man. Like, he's like, it's I feel like it's going slower than usual, but like Zepeda's like waiting for that breakout performance. You know what I mean? But
Oscar Duarte, I'm not too sure whether he's still with Golden Boy, but he was.
That's true, huh? I don't know. That's a good question. I haven't really heard anything about him. I feel like he just fought recently, maybe in Mexico, or I feel like he just fought recently, within the last couple months. I thought I saw something about his fight being promoted, or, you know, obviously it was a small little regional card, and it could have been in Mexico. I think it was in Mexico, but maybe he's not with Golden Boy anymore. Maybe he's not. I don't know. We haven't really heard anything about it, and he hasn't been on any of the undercards or anything like that, but who knows? Who knows? Moving on, also on that Fantasy Springs card, Joust Gonzalez, the younger brother of Joette Gonzalez, gets the 6-round KO over Jairo Lopez, 27-15. What'd you think about Joust Gonzalez's performance that night?
I thought he looked really good. I thought Jairo Lopez, an unbelievable chin. You know, he went down several times, but he just got up and it's like they didn't really affect him. He got knocked down, but he would just jump straight back up and looked, you know, like good to go. And when the referee jumped in, he wasn't happy. His corner wasn't happy. Everybody in the crowd actually wasn't too happy. He'd gone down several times, but yeah, he seemed to always get back up with a clear head and stuff like that, and wanted to fight on. So yeah, he was really good opponent to get a lot of rounds in there for Joust. Spoke to Joust afterwards, and he was calling out like Ryan Garcia, said that his style would be all wrong for Ryan. I asked him why, and he said just the pure pressure that I put on, I think would be a bad stylistic matchup for Ryan, and it should be easy to make due to both of us being with Golden Boy. And then he said, if not him, let's go Devin Haney.
Dude, you know what? I don't want to say I'm surprised. I guess that's maybe the wrong word, but what's the word I'm looking for? Maybe it is surprised. I don't even know. I didn't expect those names to come out of his mouth. I kind of did. I was like, he's kind of been fighting for quite a while now, where I'm just like, okay, maybe it's time to kind of get into that fold. But you were able to, like you said, you were able to talk to him after his fight, talk to Joust Gonzalez after his fight right there ringside. The video of it is on our Twitter account, and I believe it's on Instagram as well, when you had talked to him. So if anybody wants to see the few minute interview that my mic did with Joust Gonzalez, go to our Instagram or Twitter account at the last round 12 and check it out. That's where he calls out, like you said, Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia. I don't think any of those, I mean, good for him that he kind of throws their name out there. But I don't think those opponents aren't eminent for this point in his career. I mean, who should realistically be in there next with him? Because he's what, 12 and 0 essentially. So who would you put him in there with? If anybody at the top of your head?
It's hard, isn't it? Because, you know, he's good to watch. And then I think a lot of people now are seeing, you know, he's heavy handed. So it's like, does anybody really want to get in there and fight him? He's, I kind of agree with him. I think he would be all wrong for Ryan Garcia, but I don't think we'd see that either. I think that, you know, Golden Boy are going to wrap him up in cotton wool for a period of time. I'm trying to think of who would be good for him. Linares, maybe, if he's still, you know, got that that affiliation with Golden Boy. Gamboa, since everybody's just having a little go of Gamboa and knocking him out.
That would also be
a good one, I think. Oscar Duarte, who we touched on before.
Gamboa, really? You want to throw Gamboa into the mix again? Oh,
well, I don't. I want him to retire, but he doesn't seem to want to retire. So I don't know who else would you really want to put him in with? I don't. Those sorts of people, I think, would be good. A good name for him, because he had a good fan base. Obviously, you know, he's got Joette, his brother. Then obviously, his younger brother also fights amateur still, and his younger sister fights amateur still. So that's, you know, wild. There's a bit of a. You know, there's a family there, a big connection. So it'd be interesting to see who Golden Boy do select. Are they going to give him you know, somebody else, like kind of easy, like a good stylistic matchup, so he could get, you know, a lot of knockouts and build traction that way? Or are they going to say, you know, it's time? You know, Golden Boy do match their people quite, you know, quite hard, don't they? I think, you know, when they realize, okay, this guy's got some talent, let's throw him in there and see if he can, you know, it's like, see if he can sink or swim.
Right. And then you also talked to, like you said, his older brother, Joette Gonzalez, who's challenged for a world title a few times. And he's still, you know, he's still on the cusp. He's right there. You know, what was the, what kind of questions did you ask Joette Gonzalez right there at Fantasy Springs Casino? You know, what kind of information did he give you?
Joette. I asked him about, you know, what he thought of his brother's performance. He said he thought it was good. I saw that, you know, Joette was kind of stood in the corner, and he was kind of telling him to go, like, move his head from side to side a little bit more and give him a different angle to look at. And then I touched on, obviously, this weekend we have the big fight, you know, one of his old foes, Shakur Stevenson's in there with Valdez, and I tried to push him for a pick, but he wouldn't really give me one. And even afterwards, when I'd stopped recording, I was like, come on, like, give me a pick. And he sort of said, like, oh, honestly, it's a 50-50. He's like, you know, it just depends. He says that Shakur is very good at choosing, like, who to box and who to actually stand and trade with. So, yeah, even when the camera was off, he was sitting on the fence saying, it really is a 50-50. I can't pick it. So I asked him what was next for him. He said it's, you know, a few months off, and then hopefully he'll be back out again. But, you know, he's looking for some of those bigger names. He's looking to, you know, hopefully get another chance at the WBO strap.
I mean, hopefully being with Top Rank, I don't think he would have answered it, but I mean, do you think, and I feel like we touched on this before, especially when he left Golden Boy and he signed with Top Rank, do you think he left Golden Boy amicably, or do you think it was like, you know, maybe they didn't renew his contract, or do you think it was more like Golden Boy saying, hey, you know what? Top Rank has all the, you know, all the big talent in this division. You know, we're going to talk to them to see if they're cool to sign you, to give you the bigger opportunities that is a little bit more difficult for us to produce for you in that weight class. I mean, what do you think? Just kind of speculating here. How do you think that happened?
I would agree. I think that, you know, when we spoke to Roberto Diaz, you know, he spoke highly of them, didn't he, that time? I think you threw him the question about the Gonzalez's, and he said that, you know, they were trying to get them a new contract, I think, at the time. I think sometimes, you know, when you're in a stable that don't unfortunately have all of the belts, even if you love them, you know, you love the stable, you love the people that are around you, they treat you really well, sometimes for the better of your career, you have to move.
Right.
So that's like in any job, right? Sometimes you have to move to get that bigger money and to, you know, further your career.
Right. Yeah. But that's good, though. That's good that you got some words with them. And then also on the card, Manuel Flores, 12-0, gets the third round KO over Victor Ruiz. Ruiz was down three times in round three, and then the fight was waved off. What did you think about that matchup?
I thought he looked good. I thought he looked very good. A lot of fans, local guy. You had a lot of the local, I think it was like the Desert Sun or something like that, was there, the local paper, to see him. As soon as he got out the ring, he was on camera and doing all sorts of media. So he has a, you know, has a big following. I got to speak with him. You know, I think he rated himself, I think it was like a 6 out of 10 he gave himself in the gym with Joel Diaz. Said he spent a lot of time in camp with Akhmamedov, or MJ, as we know him. He said he does a lot of sparring with him, learns a lot from him. And he said it's just good just being around those Kazakhs. He says, you know, they're just a different breed. You know, the amount of effort they put in, you know, they're just like, you know, 100%. There's no frills in it or anything with them. There's no showcase with them. It's all about, you know, just being, putting in the hard work. He spoke really well. I thought he picked his shots really well as well. For somebody that was, you know, fighting somebody that you could see early on, he was probably going to get him out of there. He was still very calm. He didn't rush it. I thought he looked.
You were able to talk to, you were able to talk to him, Flores, after his fight too, right?
Yeah, I spoke with him. That's what, when I was just saying about MJ.
Right.
Spoke about his anybody that wants to follow him on Instagram, his name's like Gucci Manny. So I asked him about that.
Oh, yeah, that's,
you know,
right.
Why did he call himself that? He said it was like, you know, just a nickname. There wasn't really too much behind it. And he said he wanted to be out, you know, several times this year. So hopefully we can see him out again. And I would imagine Fantasy Springs with the amount of tickets and, you know, fans he brought in on a Thursday afternoon.
You were also able to talk to the legendary Jerry Cooney, who was there. And then I think those videos are also up on our social media handles as well. Tell the listeners about that conversation you had with Jerry Cooney.
I spoke with Jerry Cooney. I spoke with Alexis Rocha and Ronnie as well. I didn't interview those because it was just a kind of a brief chat afterwards. Jerry, I spoke with him about, you know, the fight that just happened, Tyson Fury, Dillian White. He gave us his pick on that. He spoke about the rumors that, you know, Dillian White had supposedly dropped Tyson in, you know, many years ago in sparring, but then he kind of picked, you know, Tyson to win afterwards. And then I, you know, just threw in, you know, the fantasy matchup between Mike Tyson and Tyson Fury, just for good measure. You know, everybody likes a fantasy fight, but he didn't really give us a pick on that one. He just sort of, you know, talked about the different styles, and I didn't want to push him for a pick. You know, it's just a fantasy fight. But yeah, he seemed really good. You know, he comes to Fantasy Springs every now and again as a special guest. You know, speaks really well. Still doing a lot of the, still does the what is it, the ESP? What does he do? The Sirius. Just the serious boxing.
Yeah, serious right? Boxing, serious XM yeah. Boxing channel or something like that, right?
Yeah, he does yeah. That. So yeah, he seemed in good spirits.
But I think the next Golden Boy event there is, I think it's May 12th at Fantasy Springs Casino in Indio, California, which is also a Thursday, I believe. So they're good cards, man. That's especially when it's a they put a significant fight there, and it's a, you know, especially like a weekend card, that place gets pretty crowded. We've been to quite a few of those events at the Fantasy Springs Casino, and we've been there when they've been sold out, and it gets crazy, man. You know, that crowd is definitely there, and then people go and they end up staying in the casino, and then they go and party in the casino after and stay in the hotel. So I guess it's like a little mini Vegas, if you want to call it like that, but. Yeah, those cards are definitely fun. So if you can make it out to one, definitely check it out. Moving on, this last Saturday, the 23rd of April, from Wembley Stadium in London on ESPN pay-per-view in the United States and on BT Sport pay-per-view in the UK, Tyson Fury gets the 6th round TKO over Dillian White. Tyson Fury retains his WBC and Ring Magazine heavyweight championships. I guess I, you know what, I don't, when we previewed this fight last week, I honestly forgot. I think I picked Fury, but would you agree with me that I mean, I guess I was really surprised that like White just didn't really have, like, you can just tell from the first round, second round, he wasn't gonna be able to find it, you know. Obviously Fury was a heavy favorite, but I felt like White just definitely got outclassed. What do you think?
Yeah, I kind of thought that going in. I thought Tyson was going to be too skillful for, you know, Dillian White. He's more of a fighter, isn't he, than a boxer. You know, you could see early on, you know, Povetkin had showed that, you know, he's vulnerable to the uppercut, which tended to be the case for Tyson as well. But I honestly thought he would perform a little bit better, because some of those windmill right hands that will come in were like, he was throwing them like out the ring. You know, Tyson could see them coming a mile off, an absolute mile off. And the fight did kind of start slowly. You know, I think it was good that we got that such a dramatic knockout out of nowhere, because it wasn't much, was it? It wasn't much to really look at. Tyson was just kind of controlling him with the hooks and then the jab. And Dillian didn't really know what to do, couldn't get out the way of it. I thought his feet were very, very slow. Going in there, when you've known for some time that the fight was coming up, you thought, if I was Dillian, I would have come in, I probably would have done a lot of cardio, you know, had you made your feet a lot better, because you know, Tyson's are so good and he's so good at moving that he's gonna, you know, have to try to do something to you know, to get in. And it just didn't work. He just super slow coming in, and perfect stylistic matchup for Tyson, really made him look you know, really, really good. And now we've just got to hope that, you know, he does come back for some of those bigger fights against AJ and maybe Usyk, just to kind of cement, you know, his resume and his legacy. But then, like, I think who they were talking about, Cal Frotch. I think it was Cal Frotch was saying that But it's such a good way to go out, like Kyle Froch did, that dramatic knockout over George Groves.
Right.
In front of all of those fans. You say, do you really want to risk it? Even though I think he would, if he fought AJ, I think he'd absolutely school him.
Right.
Do you want to risk going out? That was such a good way to leave, wasn't it? Such, you know, Wembley, 94,000 fans, dramatic knockout against Dillian White. Somebody said he's earned approximately like 150 million in his career so far.
I don't think he's going anywhere.
But then if he signs for two fights with AJ, you know, one in Dubai or wherever, and then one in the UK, that's probably going to fetch him somewhere between, what, 60 to 100 million ballpark around there for two fights. So you can nearly double his wealth just in two more fights against AJ, who I think he'd school, to be honest with you.
Going to the actual finish of that fight where he got him with the uppercut, I mean, obviously White's kryptonite is just that uppercut. You know, the AJ loss was an uppercut. The Povetkin loss was an uppercut. And now the Tyson Fury is an uppercut. I guess the controversy behind how the finish happened, Fury got him with the right hand uppercut, obviously stunned him. And then Fury essentially pushed him, kind of gave him a like, oh, here, I'm going to help you down and hit the canvas. Kind of just pushes him off and White falls to the floor and doesn't, you know, he gets back up, but he stumbles and the referee waves the fight off. What do you think about how that happened? You know, because obviously there's criticism behind Fury. Oh, he pushed him. It shouldn't, you know, that should be illegal or shouldn't have counted. But White was obviously stunned. I mean, who's to say that if Fury didn't push him and just followed up behind that uppercut, that he wasn't going to go down anyways?
Yeah, I personally think that he did that because, you know, he'd stunned him and he looked like White was either going to kind of be out on his feet or he was going to, you know, maybe lean in and try to, try to hug him, you know, try to, you know, just grab him so he didn't go to the floor. So like maybe, you know, White could like kind of let's just like lean on Tyson and, you know, not get knocked down. I think that's why Tyson kind of just pushed him and, you know, and he fell to the floor. And I know Dillian's kind of using that as an excuse saying that his head hit the canvas and stuff like that. But, you know, we see it. You see it in other fights. It's just the fact that it was on such a big stage that people kind of spoke about it. It was funny because you could see it in the replays, but when they did the replays on the TV, no one said anything about it, to be honest with you. So I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't see it's not going to affect, I don't think, the, you know, what happened. I'm sure Dillian's just kind of clutching at straws to, find something to make it worthwhile for him to face him again, because it was quite a dramatic loss. And I know that he was saying like, oh yeah, that affected it. You know, I banged my head on the way down. I want a rematch. You know, no one really wants to see that at the minute. I think, you know, we want to see him face either the winner of Usyk and Joshua, or personally, I would rather just see him face Joshua, you know, win, lose or draw against Usyk, because it's absolutely a massive fight for the UK.
I know, it would still be a massive fight. I think you're right.
Yeah. It's huge. Just because it's, you know, they'll do the usual like Battle of Britain or whatever. And how often is it you get like two, you know, legitimate heavyweights in the UK that get to fight each other, whether it's for just Fury's, you know, strap, the WBC and the Ring Magazine, or whether, you know, Joshua manages to shock Usyk and, you know, it's for the Undisputed.
You never know. I'm sure the world and even the broadcast partners are hoping and praying that AJ beats Usyk to get his titles back. Because then, like you said, I think there's still a big interest in a Fury AJ fight, even if AJ loses again. But imagine just the magnitude of it if AJ can get his titles back from Usyk and fight Fury sometime next year or maybe later on this year or whatever, at Wembley Stadium or something. Like, imagine that could be that fight, AJ and Fury, for the undisputed heavyweight championship of the world, probably could be the biggest record-breaking fight in British history, right?
Yeah. You know, if they could manage to, I don't know where they're going to put any more seats on the roof of Wembley or something like that, you know, and stretch it to like 100,000 or something, it'd be unreal. That's kind of one of the reasons I think that I would rather see him face, you know, AJ than Usyk. I don't know if the Usyk fight would be, you know, any good. It's going to be hard for Tyson to catch somebody, I think, you know, as you know, is elusive, and you know, he's so much smaller and, you know, quicker than Tyson. So that would might be actually be a fairly boring fight. Whereas, you know, when he fights,
well, they're AJ, they're boxers, yeah. So they're just going to be boxing all night.
Yeah, it would be hard. So, you know, I think the AJ fight would probably be another, just a slug him, like a Wilder fight, I guess. You know,
yeah. I don't think Fury retires though. I don't think so at all. I think he loves the spotlight and he knows how to handle it. I mean, look at that entrance when he made his way to the ring. Like, come on, man.
He does so many like wild and wacky things. Like for most people, I would say like, nah, it's just, he's just saying it to increase his value when he comes back. Like Mayweather did. How many times did Mayweather retire?
Right.
Tyson is kind of like wacky. Like you could see him maybe just retire. Like Lennox Lewis, I bet most people thought at the time, like, oh, he'll be back. He's just retiring just because he doesn't want to face Klitschko because the fight got called off because of a cut, even though he caused the cut. Most people are like, oh, he'll be back. He'll get offered like, you know, X amount of money. And I think Lennox has said he's been offered, got offered like $100 million, didn't he, for, you know, like one fight to come back to fight Klitschko. And he's like, no, I achieved what I wanted to achieve. I'm happy. And
that's crazy. No,
why should I come back? So, but even though I've said that, I do think Tyson will probably come back and fight.
Yeah, at least. Fury's different. Fury's definitely different.
It's just like, as long as it's quick, you know, like maybe like after the Joshua fight, the Joshua Usyk, something like that, or next summer. So he's had like a year out the ring.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, like everybody kind of touches on is like, does he need it because of his mental health? Does he need to keep in the gym, keep himself fit, keep, you know, working towards a goal? Because Tyson said so many things, doesn't he? Like, who's going to retire early? And then he said, like, I'm going to be fighting when I'm 40. I'm going to be one of those guys that's a gatekeeper helping the other heavyweights come through because I just love boxing. So depending on what day you catch him, you get a completely different answer from Tyson.
Yeah. Like we talked about last time, met him masturbating 7 to 10 times or something like that in one day, yeah, or something, you know. And people wrote stories about that. Wrote stories with that headline. So yeah, you talk about PR, you know. I think he knows exactly what he was doing. But yeah, we'll see. The heavyweight division obviously is still heavily intriguing, and now we look to AJ versus Usyk and see where that lands and who comes out the victor in that rematch. Also on the card, Nick Ball, 15-0, gets the 6th round TKO over Isaac Lowe. This was for the vacant WBC silver featherweight title. Isaac Lowe is obviously, he's been on the show before here on the Last Round. He's a part of Tyson Fury's team. Unfortunately, he comes on the losing end in this matchup. What did you think about Nick Ball's performance and ultimate win?
Good performance from him. I thought the stoppage, you know, could have been a little bit quicker, I think. Sometimes, you know, it's better to be, you know, a little bit quicker than a little bit too late. You know, Isaac Lowe looked like he was just taking some punishment and kind of turned away from it and took the referee some time to get involved. But I thought it was a good performance from him. You know, Isaac just didn't look to be at the races that day. Nick Ball, I think, was just maybe just too big, too strong and stuff like that. A real good performance, a real good breakout performance from him. And a lot of people will know his name now. You know, he's on such a big card that was, you know, good for him. You know, I'm sure the undercard was kind of knocked about not having too many names on it, but for somebody like Nick Ball to be on there now, you know, he's a household name.
Yeah, definitely a big platform for him to utilize. Rounding off the card, Tommy Fury, the brother of Tyson Fury, gets the victory over Daniel Bosianaski, who was down in round 5. Tommy Fury obviously has been trying to fight. Is it Logan Paul or is it Jake Paul?
Jake Paul. Jake? There was rumors for him. Well, they were arranged to fight, right? And then
Fury got injured or something?
Fury got injured or, you know, pulled out because maybe, you know, I know that his, you know, his brother and his dad and stuff like that were talking about, you know, if he lost to Jake Paul, he'd have to change his last name. He's no longer a Fury. So, you know, there was a lot of pressure on him going into that fight. And you know, after this performance, he didn't look too great again. And I saw an interview with Jake Paul today saying, like, he kind of, the more that he fights and stuff like that, he's kind of like screwing himself because his performances aren't that great. And Jake's just wondering, you know, like, is it worth me even fighting him? I think Jake's, you know, obviously saying that he's a lot better than he is. So still be a big fight, though. You know, Tommy's got a huge following from his reality TV time in the UK. So we may see it. We may not.
Yeah, he had his chance at a big payday, a big platform against Jake Paul. And unfortunately, he had like a injury, allegedly. But we will see. Moving on, fight previews. This upcoming Saturday, the 30th of April, from the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada, on ESPN+. Oscar Valdez, 30-0, goes up against Shakur Stevenson, 17-0. This is a unification matchup at 130 pounds for the WBC and WBO super featherweight world titles. This could arguably be the fight of the year. I mean, who else is better than these two at 130 pounds currently? Who else? It's the cream of the crop.
Yeah, definitely the cream of the crop. And, you know, before the show today, I was kind of going through Twitter and seeing what people are saying. And a lot of people are saying that this is going to be like the breakout performance for Shakur Stevenson. And, you know, he's going to be like a multi-weight world champion and all this kind of stuff. So it's a lot of pressure being, you know, piled onto his shoulders. And it's going to be, would you say, like a second breakout performance after the performance he gave us against Jamel Herring?
You know what? It's not that I don't agree with that, because obviously Stevenson has shown that he's got it. He's got the talent. Kevin Ioli of Yahoo Sports has been on the show multiple times that, you know, has said that Stevenson is the guy. You know, he's the guy he picks. Like, you know, he's going to be the guy. He's the best. Like, he's, you know, pound for pound. But Valdez, he's just got that heart of a warrior, that Mexican warrior. He's found ways to win. He digs deep down and he finds, even if he goes down, even if he hits the canvas, he gets back up. And it's like he finds that second life and finds a way to win. I mean, and with Eddie Reynoso and the Canelo camp, like, you know, we talked about Joette Gonzalez earlier, how he said he couldn't give you a prediction. He said it's a 50-50 fight. I think it's a 50-50 fight. I really do. I think it's a 50-50 fight. Valdez just has that Mexican war. I mean, in terms of boxing ability, I think Shakur has the edge, but Valdez just has the heart. But this is a good fight. It's a good fight. And Oscar Valdez is no Jamel Herring. Jamel Herring is good. He was obviously a world champion. He's got talent. But Valdez, I don't think anybody would argue. I don't think you would argue. Valdez is better than Jamel Herring. He'll give more of a competitive environment to Shakur Stevenson. But I don't know, man. I really don't. This is a tough one. This is a tough one. I know a lot of people probably going with Stevenson. And it's not that I'm against that pick. I can't count Valdez out because he has that warrior mentality. And he finds, I mean, look at when he fought, what was his last fight against Burchell? I think we picked Burchell in that fight. I think we both picked Burchell, and it was a good fight. And then Valdez just catches him with that overhand right and knocks him out cold. Just knocks him out cold. I'm telling you, man, like I think it's a 50-50 fight. I can't pick anybody right now. I really think it's a pick-em fight. But you're saying you're going with Stevenson, right?
Just, yeah. Honestly, I think it's a 50-50, but I just think Shakur's maybe so skillful, can do so much. And I could be wrong again. You know, I picked against Valdez last time when he faced Burchell, you know, and he showed us, you know, some different avenues that he can go down. You know, he was a good amateur fighter. So he's not just got that one style that we kind of became accustomed to. But yeah, I agree. I think,
Does Valdez, or even Stevenson, but I think Valdez is, especially in his last, because he fought Burchell before this. Who did he fight before Burchell?
Valdez? Was it Lopez?
Was it? I mean, like, if he beats Stevenson, let's just say, he comes off of back-to-back wins of beating Burchell, knocking out Burchell, and beats Stevenson, whether he beats him by decision or knockout, I mean, maybe some people might get mad at me for this, but does Valdez deserve any crack into the top 10 or upper echelon of the fantasy pound for pound list that people have?
He fought Robson Conceição, Burchell, Jason Velez, and then Adam Lopez. Those are his last four.
Does he deserve any, if he beats Stevenson, whether it's by knockout or decision, like I said, does Valdez deserve consideration into the upper echelon of the pound for pound talk?
I would say so, right? Because I know Kevin Ioli and some other people have, you know, have had Shakur like in and out of their top 10. Right. So, yeah, I guess he'd have to be there, whether he's 10, whether he's 9. Valdez has, you know, definitely deserves it. You know, that win over Burchell was, you know, such a great win. Burchell was, you know, just known as a killer, and a lot of people were just like, nah, Burchell's.
And he was a bigger guy, I think, too.
Yeah, I mean, Burchell was obviously just, you know, everyone was like, oh, he's too heavy-handed. You know, Valdez gets hit too much. And then, yeah, he just went in there and, you know, took him out. And, you know, Burchell's not been the same since, right?
Yeah. This is definitely a pickup fight. I'm excited for this fight. Definitely going to be the fight of the weekend, at least in my opinion. So I'm definitely looking forward to this fight. But also this upcoming Saturday from Madison Square Garden in New York City on DAZN, Katie Taylor, 20-0, goes up against Amanda Serrano, 42-1-1. This is for the WBC, WBA, IBF, and WBO undisputed lightweight world titles. They've been building this fight for quite a while. When Jake Paul got involved with Amanda Serrano, it looks like he was the one that kind of pushed this fight over the edge to really make this fight. You know, the girls, you know, Taylor and Serrano were on the Today Show in the United States today, which is big. That's a big mainstream show. I saw some clips this week of them being on there promoting their matchup. This is historic. I mean, I hope it lives up to the hype. I know we in female boxing, we don't really see too many knockouts, and I think they might be still doing 2-minute rounds. So I'm not entirely sure about that, but I hope it lives up to the hype. They said that Madison Square Garden is close to being sold out. So there's obviously still going to be a lot of people there, even if it's not officially sold out. I'm excited, man. I'm excited to see this fight. And then I think I saw some information that Stevenson and Valdez and Taylor Serrano, each respective main event on each broadcaster, DAZN and ESPN, I don't think they're going to be going head to head. I think one or the other, I'm not sure who at the moment, one or the other is going to start before the other one. So that way, if people want to switch back and forth, they can. But I think I picked Serrano last time. So I think I'm sticking with Serrano this time. By decision, what do you think?
Unfortunately, after those last performances from Katie Taylor, yeah, I think she might lose. But I'm hoping that, you know, this is such a big fight, you know, it's one that they've been waiting for such a long time. I'm hoping that spurs her on, gives her a good camp, you know, makes her change stylistically, because I thought, you know, her feet have been a little heavy recently, where she just kind of like stands and trades in the pocket, which isn't something that she used to do, you know, early on in her career. And I don't know whether that's just, you know, lack of, you know, competition, or, you know, she's kind of got too comfortable because some of the girls can't hurt her, where Amanda will, you know, if she does that, you know, Amanda's heavy handed. So, you know, I obviously want Taylor to win, you know, back the Brit, obviously. But this is a hard test. We need to see an older version of Katie Taylor, hopefully.
Katie Taylor's Irish, isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait, is she British or Irish? But
yeah, she's Irish.
I mean, obviously, I'm hoping it's a great fight. The hype, they have a lot of hype behind them. They're getting a lot of attention. Like I said, Jake Paul coming in really moved the needle to make this fight happen. I think we talked about, like, I think the fight could have eventually happened, but I think Jake Paul coming in really sped it up for it to happen and gave them the opportunity to fight in the main room of Madison Square Garden as the main event. So could be huge. It's definitely a moment in time for both female fighters, which is great. Also on the card as a co-main event, Jesse Vargas, former world champion at 147 pounds, goes up against Liam Smith. This fight was actually scheduled a couple months ago to be its own main event, I believe in Arizona, and then it was canceled, it was postponed. I don't know if somebody got COVID or somebody got sick or there was an injury, but then they moved it to this as the co-main event in Madison Square Garden. I think this is actually a pretty good fight between Liam Smith and Jesse Vargas. I think they're both at respective spots in their career where they line up well in terms of competitive quality. And I think this is a pretty close fight too. I mean, what do you think?
Close fight. Yeah, I think Smith has probably been more active. You know, Jesse Vargas hasn't really fought for quite some time. And, you know, he's had his mind set on other avenues, running for, you know, is it senator or something like that? So I'm going to back the Brit again. I'm going to go with Liam Smith. I think he's actually been, you know, had some good performances recently. He got robbed when he went over to Russia for that fight away from home. Then he had the fight with Anthony Fowler, which, you know, he started slowly, but, you know, came into the fight. I just think that's going to be, he's going to be too fresh, you know, fighting too consistently for someone like Jesse, who I think's mind's on other things now. He's really just kind of looking to cash out. And, you know, he's not really been the same ever since he's had those big paydays against like Pacquiao.
Yeah, we'll see. But I'm still looking forward to this fight. I really am. So I'm kind of glad that they, whatever the reason was why it didn't happen as a main event on its own. Could have been ticket sales. It could have been else. It's good to put them in on an event like this, especially somewhere like New York City, where it's likely going to be a sellout or close to a sellout at one of the most famous arenas in the world in Madison Square Garden. Moving on, news and notes of this week's episode of The Last Round. Matchroom Boxing recently announced a card on June 25th at the Techport Arena in San Antonio, Texas. Bam Rodriguez, in his first defense of his world championship, goes up against former world champion Sisriket Sorungvisai. And then Akhmadeliev and Ronnie Rios fight for the world championship as well. MJ's world title at that moment. And then Julio Cesar Martinez returns after his loss to Chocolatito Gonzalez in San Diego, California, against McWilliams Arroyo. That's a pretty good card, man. That's a really, really fun card. What do you think?
No, definitely. Yeah, definitely a stacked card from top to bottom there so far. You know, the fights that have been announced, just fingers crossed that nobody, you know, gets sick, gets injured or anything like that, and, you know, drops off, because that's one where it's tempting me to book a flight.
Yeah, that's definitely a cool card. And then in San Antonio, Texas, it should be they should get a pretty good turnout, especially with Bam Rodriguez being from that general area. So, you know, it sucks that Josh Ofranco can't be on that card, you know, the Golden Boy. But, I mean, I'm sure maybe Matchroom Eddie Hearn reached out to Golden Boy and said, like, hey, you know, can we have Josh Franco for this card? And they're like, nah, we want to keep it on our side. But it would have been fun. It would have been fun to have them both on there. Also, another note, former two-weight world champion Ricky the Hitman Hatton has announced a return to boxing at the age of 43. He posted in a social media post that he plans to make the return in his hometown of Manchester in a bout against Marco Antonio Barrera of Mexico on July 2nd. I'm assuming this is another exhibition like we've had the last couple years, so it's not really going to be, you know, like a bloodbath or like a full-fledged fight. It'll be like a little exhibition just to kind of, you know, get back in there and see what could happen. I mean, it is what it is. You know, should we really complain about these fights? I mean, especially when Mike Tyson came back and they showed how much attention he got and how much money he reportedly got paid and all that, fighting on Triller against Roy Jones and all that. Are you really surprised to see all these exhibitions happening from these, you know, retired guys who are now coming back in to kind of get a piece of that pot?
No, not really. You know, as long as they keep it safe and, you know, we're not getting people like Evander Holyfield, you know, coming in and getting knocked out. That's where it just gets kind of like ludicrous, right? You know, Ricky Hatton's probably, I think, is just doing this to kind of keep himself fit. I'm sure him and Marco Antonio Barrera will probably, you know, wear like 16-ounce gloves, 20-ounce gloves or something like that. and it'll essentially just be like, you know, a sparring session for the fans.
Yeah, but we'll see. You know, Ricky Han was, when he was in his prime, especially when he fought Mayweather and Pacquiao and all those fights before, they were fun, man. You know, they were fun, especially with the crowd that followed him, with the musical chants behind him. You know, it was definitely fun to be at a Ricky Hatton fight, especially when he fought in Las Vegas. It was definitely a fun atmosphere. So we'll see. Let's see if they show up again on July 2nd against Marco Antonio Barrera. That would definitely be a hit in the nostalgia factor right there. And then also promoter Frank Warren announced recently, last week during the fight week for Fury White, that negotiations were in the final stages for a fight this summer between Joe Joyce and Joseph Parker, who will might face each other this upcoming July. I think that's a good fight. I think that's a fun fight. If I had to pick right now, I think I would probably pick Joe Joyce to win that. But obviously it's not. Frank Warren says it's in the final stages of negotiation. Do you think it crosses that finish line?
I think so. The only thing that may stop it, I believe, is if Tyson does retire and tells the WBC, like, hey, you know, I'm done. I think the top two are Wilder and Joe Joyce, if I remember correctly from what they showed the other day. So that could put a stop to that. But is Tyson going to actually retire? But that's a good matchup, though. Joe Joyce, Joseph Parker. And I agree. I think Joe Joyce will just be too big, too strong for somebody like Joseph Parker, unfortunately.
Yeah, but we'll see. That's a fun fight regardless, you know, regardless of what Fury does or doesn't do. You know, I did see a tweet talking about Fury that just popped into my head. I did see a tweet from the Boxing Rant. Shout out to the Boxing Rant guys over there. Saying that, you know, if Fury says he's going to retire and he's done, to call his bluff and vacate his WBC title, call his bluff and have it vacated and then put it up for grabs. Let's just see which isn't going to happen. It's not going to happen, but that's actually a good way to really like, oh, okay, let's see if you're really going to do it, which I don't think anybody believes he's going to do it. He's going to wait to see how AJ Usyk pans out. If AJ wins, he's definitely coming back. He's definitely coming back. But even if AJ loses, there's no way he's going to pass up having an undisputed fight with Alexander Usyk. But I think that was a good shout between from the Boxing Rant guy saying, call his bluff, vacate his title, and say, oh, okay, well, you're going to retire, then we're going to vacate your title, and then we're going to have the next two fight for it. But it's not gonna happen. The WBC isn't gonna do that, because you know Fury's he's a master of PR and mind games. So but it'd be funny though. It'd be funny and be like, oh, let's really test it. And if he lets it vacate, like, holy crap, that'd be something wild. Definitely, definitely. But once again, guys, we appreciate you guys listening to this week's episode of the Last Round Podcast. And before we kind of sign off again for this week, don't forget we have merchandise available at Fit Warrior Brand, fitwarriorbrand.com. We have some sweaters, some t-shirts. Go check them out. They're on our links on our linktree.com/thelastround. You can find the link on our Instagram, on our Twitter pages and all that. Check it out and support us and help us out by buying some merchandise. We definitely appreciate it. We've had couple since we started a partnership with them, so it's been great. Shout out to all the people who've bought merchandise from Fit Warrior Brand to support us. We definitely appreciate it. But as we sign off for this week's episode of The Last Round, Mike, go ahead and let our listeners and followers know where they can find us and follow us.
We are at The Last Round 12 on Instagram and Twitter. And be sure to join us next week. It will be Canelo Fight Week.
Canelo Fight Week. And Mike is going to be in Las Vegas this upcoming weekend for the Shakur Stevenson and Oscar Valdez fight. I don't think we mentioned that. So if anybody listening is going to be at that fight or around that area, if you see Mike, give him a shout out. Tell him you want to be interviewed as a bonus episode for the last round. You'll also be at the Roy Jones Jr. This is a Roy Jones Jr. local card on Friday night in Las Vegas, this upcoming Friday, that you are planning to be at as well. So should be a good two nights of back-to-back boxing for the last round, right?
Yeah, the Friday card by Roy Jones Jr. is Sons of Legends. So you've got like, you know, Tommy Morrison's son and I think Gerald McLennan's son and stuff like that on there. Then obviously Saturday is the big one, you know, Valdez and Shakur Stevenson. So that'll be one of the fights of the year, I hope.
Yeah, I'm hoping, man. I'm hoping. Oof. I'm excited for this one. We have a big stretch of several weeks of great action-packed fights in the sport of boxing. So I'm definitely happy about that, especially coming out of the 2020 pandemic. This is definitely news to our ears as boxing fans. So for once again, for my co-host Michael Shepherd, I'm Danny Z. This is the last round.
Thanks for supporting and listening to the show. Follow us at The Last Round 12 on social media. Rate, review, and subscribe. This is the Last Round Podcast.